Yes, folks, unfortunately for worldwide socialism, we're still here broadcasting the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're going to go right down to Phoenix, folks, and talk to Gene Miller. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill. As I was listening to the program start up there, I couldn't just help remember going back, a week ago tonight?
Yes, it was, exactly but 1 week.
The music kind of reminded me of that night.
Why don't you tell our listeners what you saw, what happened?
Well, when I got there, there was no police, there was nothing, and I just walked back to Bill's room, and I knocked on the door, and Bill let me in, and I think 45 minutes after the incident actually occurred as far as the... in his room, and the minute I walked in the door, I start choking and gagging and coughing, and this is the effects of this gas that had been in there for, well over 30 minutes, because it took me that long just to drive down to this hotel, and so I can't imagine what it was like when they first sprayed it in there, and then I guess it was 15, 20 minutes later, six policemen came to the door, came inside and didn't really ask anything and just handcuffed Bill and off they went. And it was, what was it? It wasn't until later that morning, early in the morning, that we end up catching up with you. And the whole thing was just a sham.
Now, you said early morning you caught up with me. What were you doing down there so early in the morning?
Well, I was trying to find you. I tried finding you all night long.
Yeah.
And they didn't know nothing. I mean, I'm sure they knew. They just wouldn't tell me anything. I kept calling. They kept giving me this number. I just got the royal runaround as far as where you were, where you were going to, what was the bail was going to be. And it wasn't until finally, because they had no idea who you were, what you were, where you were, anything. And finally at 6:30 in the morning, somebody told me that you would have... see a judge at like between 8:30 and 11:15, and I thought, oh great, I'm not going to keep him down there that long. So what they finally told me what the bail was, so I said, okay, I went and got some money, went down to go get him, and I got down there at 7:30 and went to the window, and they didn't know nothing about it. And I said, well, come back at 8 o'clock, and they said, well, if it's up on their computer when he would be released, come back at 8 o'clock, nothing. Come back at 8:30. Yes, he's being released at 9 o'clock at the west end of the building. So at 9 o'clock, me and Annie go over to the west end of the building, and we sit there quietly, patiently for a half hour. Nothing. No bill. And so finally I went back to the front of the building, and I'm waiting in line to talk to this lady and kind of ream her over the coals. And lo and behold, Bill walks up to the front door. He had been let loose an hour and a half earlier. He's walking around looking for us. I mean, I tell you what, we talk about an organized set of three stooges down there in the police station. Nobody knows at all what's going on, or they do, and they just, doing this massive confusion thing.
Well, they're practicing to become politicians, They've got to learn how to lie and deceive and manipulate and steal and everything that they did. When we were in the room, do you remember when they grabbed me and put the cuffs on me that I asked them what I was being arrested for? Remember what the guy said?
Assault and, I believe, disorderly conduct.
And but first, he didn't say disorderly conduct. He said I was being arrested for assaulting a police officer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know it was assault of some sort.
Yeah.
And But then they admitted to me that they said, well, you didn't touch anybody. We know that you didn't touch anybody. Well, what are you arresting him for assault for? You know, but like I said, they wouldn't cooperate in one bit. I mean, they just had their mind made up, and there was no talking to them.
Yeah. Did you ever see me assault a police officer?
I never saw you touch anybody.
That's right. I never did. Was I violent?
No.
Was I crazy?
No.
Was I out of my head?
Absolutely not. I think you were a little upset.
Oh, I was very
and
upset.
And rightfully so. I mean, I guess it's fortunate that this didn't happen with my wife in the room with children. My wife is extremely protective when it comes to children, and you were a pussycat compared to what I believe my wife would have been had they done this to her kids being in the room and spraying this gas in there.
Well, I just I know how to control myself. The rage is still in me, Gene, and they're going to pay for it one way or the other. I can guarantee you.
Oh yeah.
That's coming. Anyway, what's happening with the metals?
Well, we had a pretty active day here today. Gold had a high of 385.30, a low of 381.60, to close at 383.70, up $2.10. Silver had a high of 529, a low of 521, to close at 525, up 4.6 cents. Platinum had a high of 414.90, low of 410, to close at 414.70, up $2. And the Dow, which was the most active, had a high of 38.46.70, a low of 37.76.10, to close at 38.46.70, up $70.90. One of the things I wanted to share, and I really don't want to take up too much time here because the people can call tomorrow. And
take as long as you want, Gene.
Let me explain one thing, and then I'll get to this other thing, and this will kind of maybe all tie it in. And this is what I explain to people that call as far as what we do, because we sell all forms of gold. We sell bullion gold. We sell numismatic gold. And I suppose, in the close to $2 million a month in business that we do, the majority of it is in numismatic coins. And here's what I believe, and here's what the brokers that are working at Swiss America believe. When we get to the end of this thing, when everything falls apart, which is coming, we all know that's happening. I talked to a gentleman today that he used to work for the IRS. So he says this is all planned. He says this is coming down the road. You may not want it to happen, but it's going to happen whether you like it or not. This thing is going to totally, the monetary system that we're living under today will ultimately collapse, and they want it to. When that day happens, when the dollar bills, the $100 bills that you're carrying now that you got in the bank and in the stock market, when all that's all dust, the best thing I believe to own in that day and age is going to be probably the cheapest thing possible. You're going to want to have junk silver, and you're going to want to have probably very low-grade numismatic coins. Or if they don't mess with the gold window as far as bullion, then bullion will be fine as well. Because I think when that happens, no matter what level gold is at, whether it's $500 an ounce, whether it's $5,000 an ounce, I think gold will be gold, whether it's brand new, whether it's 200 years old. But what's happening right now, and this is what I advise my clients to do, is to take advantage of this market. The numismatic market is moving up very, very rapidly just due to supply and demand. And this is, I guess, the second point I wanted to get to. There's a bill introduced into Congress right now. It has a good side and ultimately has a bad side. The good side is it's called the Investment and Savings Incentive Act of 1994, or the Super IRA bill, and the bill number is S-2301. It was introduced 2 years ago by Lloyd Benson and William Roth. Back 2 years ago in 1992, it passed both houses of Congress. They were revamping the IRA system, and then President Bush vetoed it both times. It passed twice, and he vetoed it twice, and then it kind of just lay dead from that point on. Well, now the bill is reintroduced. Lloyd Benson is now the Secretary of Treasury, and we got Slick Willie in the office. And What this does is it changes the IRA code. Right now, there's a limited amount of money you can put in, which is $2,000 a year into individual retirement accounts. Now, let me set one thing straight. I don't like IRAs. In fact, I don't advocate people having IRAs because you're giving them your money to have control over your money and over your ultimate financial destiny. But the unfortunate fact is people do have them, to the tune of $5.2 trillion are right now currently in pensions and IRAs sitting in our country. What they're going to do is they're going to change the laws on that. They're going to make it unlimited as to the amount of money that you can put into it. They're taking away the penalty as far as early withdrawal or forced retirement. And the whole idea behind it is to get more and more people to spend more and more money on IRAs. The one thing that affects our industry that we're already seeing a major effect on is, for the first time, you'll be able to allow to put certified numismatic coins in an IRA. Now, what's going to happen is there's this huge influx of money going to be chasing this very small amount of product. In numismatic coins, there's about only $3 billion that would buy worth of product on the planet. I mean, it's a very small capitalized, thinly capitalized market. If you compare it to the stock market, last year the stock market took in $15 billion a month. And this is about one-fifth of 1 month would buy everything on the planet. So it doesn't take a lot of money to see this market move in huge strides. Just to kind of give you a comparison, in June of 89, Kidder Peabody on Wall Street put in $25 million into numismatic coins. Within 60 days, the market doubled in price because there's just not enough of it out there. Probably we'll see, maybe if this thing goes to pass, looks like, which it will, we'll probably see 10 times that amount of money. The good side of this whole thing is people that are owning numismatic coins on the temporary, because what I advise my clients to do is they buy halfway decent numismatic coins, ride the market up, sell it off at that high point, and then go back down and get the junk silver, the low-grade stuff, or the bullion. But with the profit they're getting on the numismatics, they're ending up getting about, probably twice as much of the low-grade or the junk silver than they would have bought if they had just bought that initially. So it's called ratio trading. And what we're seeing taking place right now is that because of this bill in Congress and because of the amount of money that's going to be flooding into this market here coming the first of the year, and it all started to make sense because 5 months ago we found out that Clinton put $1.2 million in a blind trust with Ethics Management out of Boston with a guy by the name of Joseph McNay. And we found out that money was put into gold. And we wondered, what do they know that we don't know? Well, with this thing passing, there's this huge amount of money going to be poured into this market, and we could see coin prices literally go skyrocketing up in the roof on the short term. So this is kind of what's happening right now, and so that's kind of the condensed version. Call us tomorrow or throughout the week. Ask your broker, if you got one already, what's happening about this bill. I think you'll be very excited to know what's going on. I guess the dark side of this thing is if people keep IRAs, keep their money in those type of programs, it gives them more of your money because people will probably put, unfortunately, the sheeple will probably put more money into that system so that when they finally do flush the toilet, so to speak, on this financial deal, they just got that much more money to grab. And if you put your coins in that, which I'm not suggesting you do that at all. In fact, I don't want you to do that. But if people do, they got control of your coins as well. And so it just gives them more control. So don't do it that way. But if you own the stuff outright, you have it physically in your own possession, then you're going to benefit from this whole thing. Any of that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
I may have talked too fast there, but give us a call tomorrow. We can explain it in much greater detail. We have a copy of the congressional record of the whole thing. There's a lobbying group called ICTA, which stands for Industry Council for Tangible Assets, that's all aware of this whole thing, and we got a copy of that. And this has just come out within the last week. So, and because of it, dealers and speculators and whatnot are basically buying up everything that they can at the bargain prices that things are right now. And in the last week, coins have jumped anywhere from $50 to $100, just depending on the kind of coins they got. So what it is just a chance for you to take advantage of this market, ultimately convert it back down into what's going to be useful, junk silver, bullion gold, low-grade stuff that you'll be able to barter with, spend, and survive with.
Great. Gene, I want to thank you very much for the help you gave me and my family last week.
Don't think that's no problem. That's what friends are for.
That's right. But I want everybody to know that when the chips were down, you just weren't a sponsor. You were a friend, and so was Craig. And that's the kind of people they have at Swiss America Trading, folks. None of these people had to do anything for me, but they did. They were all right there. Gene showed up with, what, $800 in your hand that morning? And Craig was going crazy trying to get the truth from the police. And, of course, they don't know how to tell the truth. This is not the police, folks. This is not to protect and serve. This is to grind under the heel. This is the New World Order.
Yeah.
This is the police state. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
All right, sir.
You guys call Gene at Swiss America Trading, folks, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know how you like to procrastinate, so make sure you call it. Well, I don't know about all of you out there, but I'm in the mood, so tonight we're going to do it. Yowza, yowza, yowza. Hello, America, and all the ships at sea. Washington, a Chicago area man has been accused of helping massacre hundreds of Jewish prisoners while he was a Nazi labor camp guard during World War II. The Justice Department has charged 70-year-old Bronislaw Hadja. What a name. Bronislaw Hadja, with concealing that he was an armed guard at the Treblinka labor camp in Poland. Thousands of Jewish and Polish prisoners were murdered at Treblinka. The government is asking the United States District Court to strip Hadja of the American citizenship he obtained in 1955. Legal action by a special unit at the Justice Department has stripped 50 Nazi persecutors living in this country of their citizenship. More than 40 have been removed from the United States. Now, I know a lot of you out there are saying, good, get rid of them. They're Nazis. They murdered people. What's wrong with that, folks? Well, for those of you who are too damn stupid to figure it out, I'm going to tell you. You knew I would, didn't you? You see, these people have not been charged with anything. They have not been tried by a jury of their peers. They have not been found guilty of anything. And not only that, the Supreme Court ruled years ago, ladies and gentlemen, that no one can remove the citizenship of any person in this country. The only way you can give up your citizenship is to do it yourself. No one can strip you. That's a Supreme Court ruling that's never been overturned. When did we go from a nation of just people, obeying the Constitution, protecting the rights of individuals, to the police state? Well, it didn't just happen today, folks. It's been happening for a long time, and they get away with it because nobody says anything. You see, they've demonized this person. They've never tried him. He's never been found guilty by anyone. No one knows if these accusations are true. This could be me. If they wanted to get rid of me, this could be me. This could be you. We don't know what this man has done. We don't know who he is. And I'm not justifying the murder of anyone by the Nazis. You know my view on that. We have become worse than a nation of sheep. We stand by and watch things happen to other people that we would scream bloody murder if it happened to us. Now they're preparing us, ladies and gentlemen, to get ready for a food shortage, and they're going to blame it on communist China. China given major role in food crisis scenario, Washington. A leading environmentalist says China's economic growth could spur a demand for food imports and trigger a global food crisis. Lester Brown of the Independent World Watch Institute says a shortfall is looming for China, and he says the world simply may not be able to produce enough food to meet it. Folks, the Chinese are not starving. They produce enough food in China to feed most of Asia without any problem. This is another scam. What they're going to do is start turning the screws here and elsewhere, and they're going to blame it on Red China buying food. We don't have to sell them any food if we need it here, do we? Why do these people think we're so stupid that we're going to fall for this crap? But they do, don't they? You know why? Because most people are just exactly that stupid. Listen to this. He says that when China starts using its new money to buy food on the world markets, other nations may find increasing scarcity. Brown says he's never heard, in his words, of any country moving down the food chain voluntarily. His Washington-based think tank had said earlier that massive food shortages will develop as world population outstrips supply. Other organizations challenge this, saying crop yields and other improvements will push production up. It's a scam. It's a lie. It's a deception. It's a manipulation. And the key, see, they're releasing it just before the population control conference takes place in Cairo next month. Wake up, folks. And here's another one that you all better pay attention to. You don't think our government is corrupt through and through? You don't think they would hurt Americans? You better think again. Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., Associated Press Wire Service. There's more proof that the United States government conducted secretive human radiation experiments during the Cold War. Documents released today show the Atomic Energy Commission staged a 1965 nuclear rocket accident in the Nevada desert. The accident sent a radioactive cloud more than 200 miles to Los Angeles. Although estimated radiation doses to humans were well below current safe limits, they say more people were exposed than in other experiments because the cloud travels so far. Documents also show that in 1960, manned military planes were sent through radioactive rocket exhaust. Then the flight crews were tested for radiation contamination. The documents containing details of these and other tests were released by Massachusetts Congressman Edward Markey, a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Wake up, folks. Wake them up. Somebody wake them up out there. As Pooh would say, hey, you might be sleeping having a good dream. When we wake you up, you're going to have a nightmare. WJJR. Here we go. Radio Free Vermont. I want to welcome all you listeners out there listening to Radio Free Vermont on 103.1 FM. 103.1 FM. This is an American patriot rebroadcasting the hour of the time on FM 103.1 on his FCC-approved Part 15 rules, genuine pirate stereo FM station. Thank you, Monty. We appreciate your efforts and your bravery to fly in the face of the criminal, treasonous police state. Well, folks, tonight, this experience last week has made me very angry. So I've spent the last few days trying to figure out everything that I can do to help you get ready and help us get ready here. Make sure that these things don't happen to me again, and hope they don't happen to you either. I'm going to give you some deals tonight you can't pass up, and you better take advantage of it. In the catalog from Surplus and Stuff, we have our food storage items. And we have a family unit, which is 1 year's supply for a family of four. That's 1 year's supply of food for a family of four, or a 2 year supply of food for two. And these are adults. When I say four, I'm talking about adults. When I say two, I'm talking about adults. 1 year's supply for a family of four adults, or 2 year's supply for a family of two adults. Contains 36 cases of number 10 cans, totaling 216 cans and a sprouting unit. Weight is 1,078 pounds. Recommended water storage for reconstitution of all of this is 545 gallons. They are nitrogen-packed and enamel cans. And the retail price is $2,768. $2,768. In the catalog, we have it listed for $2,368. The retail price is $2,768. Everybody understand that? I don't know if I said it right the first time. Retail price is $2,768. It's listed in the catalog for $2,368. That's $400 off. Well, grab your socks, folks, because I'm now going to give it to you for $1,484. I've spent the last 3 days making this work, figuring out a way to do it, talking with different people. $1,484. You figure that out for four adults for 1 year, price per meal, three meals a day. And if you don't take advantage of this, knowing that you're going to need food storage items, I can't help you anymore. That's the family unit. 1 year supply for a family of four adults, or a 2 year supply for a family of two adults. Retail price $2,768. Listed in our catalog for $2,368. You can now have it for $1,484. Took a lot of doing to make this work, folks. It was like pulling teeth out of a hen's mouth. But I'm determined. We're all going to be ready. There's going to be war in this country. It's unavoidable. Unfortunately, I've done everything in my power over the last 3, 4, 5 years to stop it. But they are determined to enslave us. Therefore, we are determined to maintain our freedom. That, when you put it together, means war. The security unit. 2 years supply for one person. That's 2 years supply for one adult, or 1 year supply for two adults. 2 years supply for one adult, or 1 year supply for two adults. Retails for $1,413. $1,413. It's listed in our catalog for $1,213. You can have it for $807. Write these things down, folks. That's the security unit. The first one I gave you was the family unit. This is the security unit, $807. We have a modular unit. Write this down, modular unit. It's 1 year's supply of food for one person, or 6 months' supply for two adults. 1 year's supply for one adult, or 6 months' supply for two adults. Retails for $1,088. Listed in our catalog for $888. You can have it for $644. $644. We have an emergency unit, which is 1 month's supply for one person. 1 month for one adult. Retail for $213. You can have it for $190. $190. Okay, I'm going to go through this one more time, folks, just to make sure that you all got it. The family unit, 1 year supply for a family of four adults, or a 2 year supply for a family of two adults. Retails for $2,768. Listed in our catalog for $2,368. You can have it for $1,484. That's $1,484. The security unit. The security unit. 2 years supply for one adult. Or 1 year supply for two adults. That's a 2 year supply of food for one adult. Or a 1 year supply for two adults. Retails for $1,413. It's listed in our catalog for $1,213. You can have it for $807. $807, folks. The modular unit. Modular unit. That's 1 year supply for one adult or 6 months supply for two adults. That's 1 year supply for one adult or 6 months supply for two adults. Retail, $1,088. Listed in our catalog for $888. You can have it for $644. That's $644, folks. Then the emergency unit. The emergency unit, 1 month supply for one adult. That's a 1 month supply for one adult. Retails for $213. You can have it for $190. Now, if you don't have a catalog, folks, write to Surplus and Stuff. Send them $2. Just two measly little phony counterfeit Federal Reserve notes. Send it to Surplus and Stuff. Surplus and Stuff. P.O. Box 3300. That's P.O. Box 3300. St. John's, Arizona. It's in this catalog. You can call 1-800-788-3320. That's 1-800-788-3320. That's the order. If you have questions, you'd like to talk to somebody and ask questions and just chat for a while about anything in this catalog, call 602-602-337-2975. That's 602-337-2975. That's during normal working hours tomorrow. There's nobody there now. 602-337-2975. Now, on these food storage items, folks, no credit cards, period. No credit card orders on this food storage. You're going to have to send in a money order or a personal check. And if you send a personal check, we're going to have to wait until it clears. Okay, folks, we're going to be doing some more things for you as we go along, as much as we possibly can. Let's open the phones, 602-337-2524. 602-337-2524. 602-337-2524. We'll open the phones and talk for a while. See what you have to say about what's happening in your end of the world or whatever you want to comment on.
From Jersey.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, you had a program on there the other week about the towns being invaded by the military. I have a document from the United States Marines invade Gloucester City.
Yeah, they invaded, they're doing it all over the country. They invaded a town called Green Mountain Falls in Colorado. Arrested the mayor, rounded up the people. It was, it's terrible.
Yeah, they used live ammunition and bombs and everything else in this one. Well, they did it like 11:30 at night, and it was pretty wild because it's only a quarter mile away from me.
What do you mean they used live ammunition?
It says right here.
What?
You there, Bill?
I'm here.
Yeah, something's going funky with the phone here.
Well, fix it.
It woke up the neighborhood. It shook, rocked the neighborhood. They used bombs at the old Coast Guard base here.
Uh-huh.
Right on the Delaware River, right across from Philadelphia.
Are you there? Well, you got something wrong with your phone line. Might be our phone line. I doubt it because we didn't have any problems with Gene. So check it out and take care of it. 602-337-2524, folks. 602-337-2524 is the number. If you'd like to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill?
Yeah.
This is, just call me WP.
Okay, WP.
How can I get a copy of your book?
Send us $30. It's that easy.
Okay. Where? How? When?
P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. That's P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. Send it to me.
And I'm sorry. All I can say, guy, I'm sorry what happened.
Well, so are we.
Understand.
I know what you're saying. I'm not trying to be flippant.
Whatever.
It was a terrible experience.
Well, that's all I can say. I appreciate the address. I'll get you a line in the mail.
Thank you. And thank you for calling. What do you say? That's what? I didn't quite catch that. I don't know what he said there. Lines open, 602-337-2524. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. You were talking about population a moment ago and what World Watch had to say in the Cairo conference.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is for about 40 years we've had a lot of scare tactics about overpopulation.
No kidding.
And number one, nobody ever defines what overpopulation is. You know, in this country, farmers go out of business every day because they can't sell crops that they grow. That we could grow 5 times more probably in this country than we do if we had a market for it.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with food. It has nothing to do with square miles of land that people stand on or live on. It has to do with what those in power consider to be a manageable population to rule. That's what it's really all about. All this other stuff is BS for the sheeple.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. And number one, there's plenty of food for everybody, and the world food could be doubled or tripled in a few years if they had a market. So there's no food shortage. We have a food surplus all over the world. Number two, as far as the number of people in the world, there's ample room. I'd like to give an example.
No, I heard that on the Rush Limbaugh show. I can't stand examples like that. Everybody in the world could put them in the state of Oregon. That's not, no bearing on anything.
Why not?
It's bullshit. It has no bearing on anything.
Well, the facts state there's plenty of room.
Hey, if you took everybody in the world and put them in the state of Oregon, they'd drown in their own urine. Don't give me that crap. Come on.
Well, I'm not putting them in Oregon. I'm just saying.
I don't care where you put them. It's not a valid argument. It's baloney.
Well, I'm trying to prove that these people are wrong about overpopulation.
Yeah, well, we all know that.
All right. But you got to use facts to prove that, and that's what I'm doing.
No, saying that you can take everybody and put them in one place and you still have plenty of room, vacant land around the world is not a valid argument.
I don't think so.
Absolutely not. What are you going to do with their sewage? What are you going to do with their trash? How are they going to move around? I mean, just because you can put them all in that little bitty space doesn't mean that they're going to be able to live there with each other all crowded together like that. It's not a valid argument. It's baloney.
The other thing is, the most densely populated countries in the world have a high degree of free enterprise. The more socialism that you have, the less goods and services you have. therefore it's socialism that creates the problem of hunger wherever it exists, or low standard of living.
Or just plain stupidity. Won't get off your butt and work for a meal.
Well, that's part of it too.
That's a big part of it.
The more socialism that you have.
If it wasn't for that, what I just mentioned, socialism wouldn't work. Nobody would buy it. But everybody wants something for nothing, and socialism promises that. Of course, they don't get it. And you're right, it does cause tremendous problems.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to get across is that it's the world socialists who are creating this phony scare about not enough food and too many people in order that people say, okay, now we're going to let you take care of the problem, and you can control the people in the world and think how many can be born, what groups can be born. It's nothing more than a plan to control everybody through the use of medicine, drugs, saying who can have a family, who cannot have a family.
You're absolutely right, 100%. Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524. Gentleman is right. You can't argue with him. Absolutely 100% correct, folks. Socialism sucks. Sucks big time. You hear that? Radio for Peace International? You're the stooges of socialism. Socialism sucks. And so do socialists. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. I was curious. It seemed to my memory here that not too long back there was a statement made, I believe, by you that march that Linda Thompson had called for in September was somebody's planted idea with her, I guess?
Yes.
Planted by a gentleman named Mark?
Yes.
What did you base that on? The decision that was from him and not hers.
What do you mean, what did I base it on?
Well, what information did you get that led you to believe that came from him instead of from Linda?
Several different people who heard him say it, long before Linda ever said it.
That's interesting. I know the gentleman. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, I know the gentleman, too. He's a scam artist from way back. He's been trying to feed me bullshit information for years. When he first contacted us, he told us he was an Air Force intelligence officer.
Okay. And he's not, or was not?
Well, now all of a sudden he was in the 40th Ranger Battalion. That's not Air Force, is it? Also, 40th Ranger Battalion doesn't exist, does it?
You got me there. I'm not that familiar with it.
Well, the problem with you and a lot of other people is you don't check any damn thing. You listen to the show after night, and I tell you, read everything. Listen to everybody. Don't believe anything unless you check it out. But you don't do that, do you?
No, I've checked things out that he's claimed he got information on before, and it's been true.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Well, show me all those Belgian troops that he said are in the United States. Those thousands of Belgian troops up there in Montana, Wyoming. Show them to me.
Well, now, I haven't checked on Belgian troops, but I can't check on...
My friend, you haven't checked on anything. You've just shown yourself to be one of the biggest sheeples in this country. You better wake up. 602-337-2524. 602-337-2524. We do our homework here, folks. Mark Kornke first contacted us through Stan Barrington. It was Stan Barrington that he told that he was an Air Force intelligence officer. Later, he became an Army G2 intelligence officer who worked for the 40th Ranger Battalion. And there were thousands and thousands of Belgian troops running through Montana. And later it was other kinds of troops, and then other kinds of troops. And do you remember the story when he said they were having a big operation in the southeast of the United States that was going to start the war because they were going to go house to house and take everybody's guns? Mark Kornke is a scam artist. We have proven it here. We do our homework. Now, you can sit out there and listen to all this junk if you want to. And you can believe it if you want to. And you can follow these people all over the world if you want to. And you can get your nose caught on the thorns all you want to. but you're going to be sorry if you don't figure out who's who and what's what. Get it together, folks. There are people out there who are trying very, very hard to hang you on a telephone pole. You better understand that. 602-337-2524. That's 602-337-2524. Folks, just to show you that what I have been telling you is absolutely correct, the person that just called, one of Mark Kornke's lieutenants, is holding the line and will not release it, proving exactly what we said.
Bill, hello?
Yeah.
Yes, Russell in Houston.
Okay, hello, Russell.
Could you give me the price on Vultures and Eagles Feathers and Goodbye April 15th?
It's Vultures and Eagles Clothing, $43.
$43.
And Goodbye April 15th is $43 also.
All right.
Sorry you had such trouble getting through there.
Oh, thank you. Tell me, would it not be a good idea for people to start patriots to start compiling a list of Freemasons for Roundup once the balloon goes up?
Well, you got to be careful now. We cannot claim to be supporting the Constitution if we're going to participate in vigilante roundups and vigilante trials and vigilante executions.
Yes, sir.
There must be a system set up, constitutional. There must be people designated to perform certain functions, and they must do it under the law, not like those that we are trying to clean out. And there must be legal, constitutional trials held. They cannot be kangaroo courts. They must be legitimate trials. And those accused must be able to present a good defense. And if they're found guilty, then their punishment must be decided by a judge. These, yes, you should start collecting names of those whom you intend to accuse of treason. Absolutely. Do that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
But don't engage in any illegal activity. When this stuff starts out, folks, don't turn into a mob running around the country, killing and raping and stealing and stuff like that. I know it's going to happen. But I sure hope that nobody I know engages in it. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Ann from Michigan.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Well, doing just fine.
We miss you.
Oh.
We miss all of you, everybody that was here.
Oh, yes. Well, we have had a different life since we've been there. It's just our life is just consumed with digesting and using all of the information that we learned at the conference.
Changed your whole picture, didn't it?
Yeah, I've been a happy little sheeple for a long time. So, anyway, we're glad that you're back on the air, live, and that everything worked out and last Wednesday night.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we just...
Thanks to everybody who helped. It all came out okay until September the 1st when I go down there to court.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun. I hope the judge has a good heart because he's liable to topple off his bench with apoplexy when he hears what I'm going to tell him.
Yes, yeah. I imagine that you will be prepared.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah, and...
Yeah, he's gonna bring me in front of his statute, Admiralty and Equity Court, or Equity and Admiralty Court, and he's gonna ask me, gonna read off charges, and he asked me if I understand them, and I'm gonna tell him no, I don't understand a thing you just said.
Yes.
And I don't recognize the jurisdiction of your court over me, a sovereign, and I'm here on a special appearance. Not a general appearance, and the judge is going to turn purple and start gasping for breath.
That's the position we want him to be in.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's been really different to think the new thoughts that Paul and I have had since we've been to the convention to think about it. I listen to the news now with a new ear.
Uh-huh.
Since I came home, I have heard our local news report several instances of what we should call police brutality.
Uh-huh. But they didn't call it that, did they?
No.
No.
And while we were in Arizona, there was an incident of with the KKK or something or other in a city right 7 miles from me.
Well, remember they said it was the KKK. You don't know if it was or not.
Right. And when they went to arrest the man this last week, he had 10 SKS, which they confiscated, and of course it blazed all over the newspapers that, this must be bad.
But he had a rifle, and the rifle was not illegal to own, was it?
No.
And the second article in amendment to the Constitution guarantees us the right to keep and bear arms, doesn't it?
Yes.
But your traitors in the media demonized him, didn't they?
And the newspaper would, in the media, would want to make it appear as if it's evil and wicked to even have a gun in your home.
And they probably called it an automatic weapon, didn't they?
I didn't see that they did that, but I'm sure they wanted to make it appear as if he had something illegal.
Yeah, well, usually they call just regular weapons automatic weapons when they're not. Well, that's good that they didn't go that far. They do it in California all the time, and here in Arizona and everywhere else.
So anyway, our life has been different. We've been, I've still been working and doing all the things where I normally do to make a living.
Uh-huh. Well, we all have to do that.
Our spare time has been spent researching and digesting and using the information that we learned at the convention. I think it's going to be the most useful meeting that Paul and I have ever attended.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. We certainly tried to make it that way, and I know that everybody was shocked and surprised at what they learned here, not thinking that they were going to get all of that stuff. Did you fire my rifle?
No.
Oh, man.
I didn't want to use your ammunition because I knew I couldn't buy it, so. But I did fire a few others to check them out.
Good. Good for you.
Yes. Yeah. And last night we spent, all day yesterday, we spent with some friends that should have been at the convention, and they, with hindsight, they wish they had been. And so we told them everything that we could. That we learned,
mm-hmm.
But of course it's not the same as being there.
Yeah.
We thought of more things today that we could have told them, and they will have to get the tapes whenever they come available.
Yeah, some of the tapes will be available both on audio and video. Some of the tapes will not be available under any circumstances, and I'm not even going to tell you why, but
yes.
There are reasons for that.
Yes, well, it was an excellent program.
Thank you.
We've been able to speak to some other people that have, we've discovered since we got back that we've known them for a long time. They have had top secret information from the Naval, from Office of Naval Intelligence.
Uh-huh.
He worked in that office with the, he was the, worked for the director in that office. Paul was prompting me.
Ah.
Anyway, we had a long conversation with him, and through kind of covered language because he says, well, I still have my top secret status, and he doesn't want to jeopardize that. But he was willing to share with us when we told him what we knew, what we had learned at the convention. He told us that, yeah, that was true about JFK and about the Moon Project and about, the Groom Lake. We kind of touched on that subject, and I said, okay, I guess I will believe it. Okay.
Well, you know, I used to be a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence.
Yes, and when he told us that that's where he used to work, then I went, oh, look, you know, your book, I knew that's where you had been.
Yeah.
And so, anyway.
I thank you for calling, and we're out of time.
Okay.
Got to go.
Okay, thanks.
Say, give our love to everybody,
okay.
Please. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
That's it, folks. We're out of time. Take advantage of those food storage deals that we're giving you because, hey, can't do better than that ever. I mean, we've given you some good deals in the past, but this is like eating my own shorts. You know what I mean? So take advantage of it. Good night. And God bless each and every single one of you. And God save this republic.